If you have your Bibles, I'd like to begin in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 18. I've had my mind this week a good bit on the writings of the Apostle Peter. But in looking at those, I just generally had my mind on the Apostle Peter and felt led to preach some about the events of his life and how it can often mirrors the events of ours. And it's not my intent to fully cover the life of the Apostle Peter with the Lord Jesus Christ, but just parts of it. And we'll see if the Lord leads us to continue on that later. I've always identified with the Apostle Peter because I see some of Peter in me. Peter oftentimes engaged his mouth before he engaged his brain. And I can identify with that. I don't know if y'all can or not, but there's been many times in my life where my mouth was in drive and my brain was in park. And that is not a good combination. Peter was very resolute, which can be a good thing if you're right in what you're thinking. But if you're wrong, it can not be a good thing. So the Lord being our helper, I'd like to look at some of the blessed things that happened in the life of Peter and some of his interactions with our gracious and loving Lord. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 18, it said, "And Jesus, walking by the sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will," that's key phrase, "I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him." He goes on to call in the next couple of verses, James and John, and they immediately leave their ship and their father and followed him. Then it said, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel," or the good news of the kingdom, "and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those that were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem and from Judea and from beyond Jordan." So we see here the Lord Jesus Christ calling Peter as one of his apostles. If you look at Matthew chapter 10, and that list is repeated both in the book of Mark and in the book of Luke, in the list of the apostles, Peter is always listed first. Peter was very important in the body of the disciples, and he would manifest himself sometimes as a mouthpiece of the apostles, and we'll talk about that a little bit more, the Lord being our helper. But I'm always struck when I read this account how the Lord communicates with us and how he communicated with Peter in a way that Peter could understand. Peter's a fisherman. If you really wanted to communicate with Peter, if you spoke in the concept of fishing, Peter could really get it. And I'm reminded about how the Lord's the very best communicator that's ever been. You know, there's been times in my life when I'm praying and I'm seeking the Lord, and I just don't know what to do. And that's a very difficult place to be. And I've learned over time that if the Lord wants to get his point across, he has no trouble getting his point across. So when we're praying and we're seeking the Lord's guidance and we're in his word, looking at his truth, and we don't exactly know what to do in a situation, there is a time simply to be still and know that he's God. Because when it's time for the Lord to communicate, he has no trouble doing it. And he can so burden our hearts that we can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it's the Lord burdening us to do something. Now, if we feel a burden and we think it's from the Lord, but it doesn't agree with his word, it ain't the Lord. Because the Lord never contradicts himself. But if we feel extremely burdened, and what we're feeling extremely burdened to do is consistent with his truth in his word, the Holy Scriptures, the Bible, then we need to take that seriously. Now look at how the Lord communicated with Peter. He looks at him and says, "Follow me." Now that's kind of clear, isn't it? "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Peter didn't have to doubt what the Lord Jesus Christ was calling him to do. Follow me. Where I go, you go. Where I step, you step. That's pretty plain, isn't it? And he tells Peter, "I'll make you fishers of men." Now, Peter knew all about fishing a fish, but he didn't know as much about fishing a men. And Jesus said, "Follow me, and I will make you." Now, what's the fishing of men he's talking about? Is he talking about that Peter would be able to take a dead alien sinner and give him life? No. Only the Lord can do that. But he's talking about the proclamation of the gospel. You know, when Peter would literally cast out his nets to catch fish, he wasn't trying to catch dead fish. He's trying to catch living fish. And the gospel net, the preaching of the gospel, the casting of the gospel net, is not, the purpose of it is not to take dead alien sinners and give them life. The Lord does that directly. But it's to bring life and immortality to life. It's to proclaim the good news of what the Lord Jesus has already done in dying for us on the cross of Calvary. And that gospel net was to gather in living fish. Fish that had already been born again by the Holy Spirit of God, but needed the good news of their salvation. Now, how much does that good news matter? I'm reminded of the story, and you've heard me tell it before, but I think it's a wonderful story about a soldier that was in a foxhole at the end of World War II. The United States and their allies had already been victorious. The victory had already been won. But the soldier in the foxhole didn't know it. And he's waiting at every moment for another bomb to blast. He's in fear. He's greatly afraid. And he's waiting on the next barrage of artillery to come to him and maybe bring the end of his life. The victory's already been won, but he doesn't know it. And oh, the sweet time came when a fellow American soldier came and reached down in the foxhole and gave him the good news that the United States and our allies have been victorious. The war's over. You have nothing to be afraid of. You see, that's what the gospel does. The Lord Jesus has already given us the victory when he said it is finished on the cross of Calvary. But we're like that soldier in a foxhole, still afraid to death until we hear the good news of the gospel. Till we know and understand the good news that Jesus finished the work, that Jesus won the greatest victory that's ever been won upon the cross of Calvary. That's what the gospel net does. And it's to catch living fish, not dead fish. And I'll tell you, it's not going to be blessed if the Lord doesn't bless. What did he tell Peter? I will make you fishers of men. There's going to be no blessing in the gospel unless the Lord blesses. I don't have the ability to preach the gospel without the blessing of the Lord. Neither does any other man. But if the Lord blesses, he has the ability to make us fishers of men. He has the sweet ability and the power to grant us liberty in the proclamation of the gospel. You see, I can, if I go with the Holy Scriptures of God, I can give you the truth. But I can't provide the Spirit. And the Lord Jesus told the Samaritan woman, the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers, and that's what we want to be, isn't it? When the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. We've got the truth in his word, but men can't provide the Spirit. But I'll tell you, we worship one that's able to. He said, I will make you fishers of men. And what was Peter's response? He was obedient. They straightway left their nets and followed him. Didn't delay, but immediately they followed the Lord. And what did they see? We read it. Some amazing sights. They heard Jesus preaching the gospel. Can you imagine that? Jesus preaching the gospel. Jesus healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Jesus delivering those that were possessed with devils. Jesus healing the lunatic. Jesus healing those with palsy. He healed them. What a blessing it was to follow the Lord Jesus. You know what the Lord calls us to do is always something that's good for us. Our flesh may not always like it, but think of the blessings that Peter got to see right off the bat in doing what Jesus said do. And I'm going to tell you, there's great blessings for us when we do what Jesus says do. We can see some wondrous and glorious things when we're obedient to what he has told us to do. I want to go to Luke chapter 5. Lord being our helper, we're going to predominantly be in the book of Matthew, but I want to go to Luke chapter 5. It said, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, which is another way of saying the Sea of Galilee. And he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon Peter's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and he taught the people out of the ship. There was such a crowd around the Lord Jesus. If we can get the picture in our mind, there was so many multitudes and such a big crowd thronging around the Lord Jesus that he's like, if I get out in this boat, you know, I'll be able to preach the gospel and to teach the people, and they'll be able to hear me better and see me better. And the Lord Jesus actually sat down. And I've never had to sit down. Well, I guess I have on occasions on different Zoom service or what is that, but I've seen ministers that because of their health and their inability to stand for that long preach sitting down, and that's okay. The Lord Jesus preached sitting down here in this boat. So here he's in the boat of Peter, and then he tells Peter this. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I'll let down the net. Simon had exerted every bit of effort he could the night before. He had used all the knowledge he had of being a professional fisherman to catch fish. But he hadn't caught anything. That night was a dismal failure in Peter's mind. And it's a little detail that's easy to miss if you're not paying attention. And I'll be honest, I missed this till I was looking at it and having my mind on this message. They had washed their nets. Now, it's a lot of work to wash nets. It was a labor. It was a lot of labor to wash the nets. And if they didn't wash the nets would deteriorate, the nets would rot. It was very important for a fisherman to wash the net. And it was a lot of work. And see, Peter had already given up, and they washed the nets. They're through. And now Jesus is saying, throw the net out again. And everything from a carnal perspective was telling Peter, you've done everything you know to do. You've fished the Sea of Galilee many times. You've done everything you know to do. You've used all the strength that you have, and you ain't caught a fish. And so Peter, you can almost see him talking out loud, Lord, we toiled all the night. We hadn't caught anything. But then he thinks, I've seen this man do things no man can do. I've seen him heal the sick. I've seen him heal the lepers. I've seen him do all kind of miraculous things that no man can do. He's not led me wrong one time. He said, nevertheless, even though it makes no sense to me, nevertheless, at thy word, King Jesus, I'll let down the net. You know, sometimes the Lord may ask us or burden us to do something that in our carnal minds just does not make sense to us. But again, if it's consistent with His word, we need to do like Peter, and even though it doesn't make sense to us, say, nevertheless, at thy word, I'll let down the net. And let's see what happens. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net broke. That's how many fishes there were in there. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, and that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. What did Jesus tell them? Peter, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And the Lord showed him, you're not going to be a fisher of any man unless I bless you. But in speaking Peter's language, he shows Peter, you ain't never going to catch one fish unless I bless you. And he shows Peter where his blessings really come from. And he reminds us where our blessings really come from. Master, we have toiled all the night and taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I'll let down the net. And he did what the Lord Jesus said, and there was an abundance of blessings. So much the net breaks, so much it took two ships to bring in the bounty of the blessing that Jesus brought. You know, the Lord's blessings aren't little, they're big. He doesn't just fill the cup, our cup runs over when the Lord blesses. And he teaches Peter lessons of where his blessings would come from. Peter was a tough guy that says, I'm used to getting it done. I'm used to laboring and get it done. And maybe a lot of us have thought those same things in our life. But Jesus said, without me, you can do a little bit, something, most things. No, he said, without me, ye can do nothing. So Peter learns valuable lessons. When it doesn't make sense to me, but the Lord tells me to do it, I think I'll do what the Lord says. And what a lesson for us, even today. We go back to the book of Matthew, to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, the Lord Jesus has fed the 5,000 men, not counting women and children. It's a wondrous miracle. It's one of the only miracles of the Lord that's actually recorded in all four of the gospel accounts of that great miracle of what the Lord did. And right after that, in verse 22 of Matthew 14, it said, straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go over on the other side while he sent the multitudes away. When he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea. The Lord Jesus is up on the mountain alone praying. The disciples are in the midst of the Sea of Galilee on a ship. And the ship was in the midst of the sea, or in the middle of the sea. And it was tossed with waves. That word tossed is an interesting word. It literally has a connotation of to torture. It has the connotation of to test metals by the touchstone. It's telling us that this storm was so brutal and so torturous to the boat that it seemed like it just might tear the boat apart. It uses the term tossed. Now, we know what it is to toss a ball to one another, and it's giving us an indication how that boat was moving on the water. It was being tossed about. And these men, who were very used to storms on the Sea of Galilee, this one was different. They were scared to death. And they're in the darkness of the night. The Lord's up on the mountain. And they're scared to death. Perhaps we can identify with things that have happened in our life that resemble this great storm on the sea. When the night seems to be the darkest, and you're worried and you're afraid, and even though there's still some other folks on the boat with you, you still feel pretty alone. And in the fourth watch of the night, one of the darkest parts of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. I'm sure those disciples out in the middle of the darkness of the night and in that terrible storm were probably wondering if Jesus knows what we're going through. Wonder if he sees this horrible storm. But we're in the darkness of the night. We're in the middle of the sea. There's no help available to us. But Jesus, if you look at all the gospel accounts, said he looked through the darkness of the night. And he saw them toiling and rowing. He knew every time they were putting their oars in to try to get some control of the ship. Jesus saw it all. And I'll tell you, little child of God, Jesus sees everything that we go through when we're in a storm. And when we're doing our best to try to get out of a storm, and we're paddling as hard as we can, but the waves keep splashing and the winds keep blowing, He sees every fear. He sees the thoughts and intents of our heart. And He cares. And He cares so much that He didn't just look down there and see them toiling and rowing and feel bad for them, but He does something about it. He literally goes to them and does one of the greatest miracles in the Bible. He walks on the water to them. This is the only context where it's ever mentioned in the history of the world that individuals walked on water. Jesus will walk on water to be there for His disciples. And I'll tell you, little child of God, Jesus will walk on water to be there for you. The one who shed His precious blood for you on Calvary's tree, it's a far lesser thing for Him to walk on water in your trials and tribulations, and He does it. When the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It's a spirit, it's a ghost." And they cried out for fear. They thought the worst. The Lord Jesus is coming to deliver them. But they see a ghost. And they're even more afraid. Have we ever thought the worst in our life? Maybe help's on the way, but we think the help's a hurt. That's what they thought. But the Lord Jesus gives them the sweet news. But straightway, Jesus didn't make them linger. They thought He's a spirit. They cried out for fear. There's a little saying, when a grown man's really afraid and he screams out like a little girl, I think that's probably what they were doing here. They were so scared, they were probably screaming like little girls, these tough, rugged fishermen. But the Lord doesn't keep them waiting. It says, He straightway, immediately, spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." He gave them the good news of who He was. He was already coming to them. He was already walking on the water. He was already going to deliver them, but they didn't know it. You see how important good news is? And Jesus gives them the good news. "I'm not a ghost. I'm not somebody here to hurt you. I'm the Lord of glory. I'm coming to help you. It is I. Be not afraid. I'm bigger than this storm. I'm bigger than this trouble. I'm bigger than this darkness. Be not afraid. Be not afraid." And Peter answered and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." He said, "Lord, if it's really you, bid me come." Peter wanted to get a little closer to the Lord. They were probably looking to Peter for some leadership in that boat, and he's like, "I don't know what to do." And when he sees the Lord, he so wants to be close to the Lord. He said, "Lord, if it's you, bid me to come to you. I want to be closer to you. I just don't want to be in the boat looking at you. I want to be right next to you." What a blessing. How close do we want to be to the Lord? Do we want to keep Him at arm's length? And say, "Lord, I kind of want to serve you, but don't get too involved in my life because I still kind of want to do things my own way." How close do we want to be? Peter wanted to be close. He said, "Lord, bid me to come unto thee on the water." And he said, Jesus said, "Come." I don't think Jesus tells us as His little children any other thing
We say, Lord, help me to come closer. Lord, I want to be closer to you. And what's the response of Jesus? Come. He wants us to be close. He wants us in his tender hands and to feel his tender touch and to feel his arms of grace and mercy and love wrapped around us. He said, come, Peter. Come. And I'll tell you, the same everlasting love he had for Peter, it's the same everlasting love he has for you and for me. And when we say, Lord, I want to be closer. Lord, I want to be at thy feet. Lord, please let me be as close to you as I can. Jesus says, come. Come. When Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Only people in the history of the world ever walked on water. Jesus and Peter. You think about that. And he walks on the water to go to Jesus. But have we ever been on our way to get closer to Jesus? But something happened. And things didn't go like we thought. But we got distracted. But we got afraid. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. He gets out of the boat. He's walking on the water. His eyes are fixed, I believe, on the face of the Lord Jesus. And he's literally walking on water. But the storm distracts him. This storm was noisy. He could feel the storm. He could see the storm. He could smell the storm. All of his senses were taking in. There is a horrible storm around me. You know, the Apostle Paul, in writing unto the church at Corinth, tells us not to look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are unseen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are unseen are eternal. But it's so easy to look at the things we can see. And here's Peter, who's desperately trying to get closer to the Lord, but he gets distracted about the waves that are blowing in his face and the wind that is so boisterous and tremendous. He gets afraid. And he takes his eyes off the Lord and he looks on the storm. And he begins to sink. You know, I think it's interesting, when Noah and his family were in the ark, there was only one window in that thing, and it was up in the top, because Noah and his family didn't need to be looking at all the devastation that was going on the world and that great worldwide flood, but they needed to be looking up to the Lord of all creation. They needed to be looking up to their deliverer, where their safety comes. But Peter, even though he took his eyes off the Lord, even though fear gripped him, he began to sink. He knew where his help came from. He prayed a prayer. It wasn't a long prayer. Lord, save me. And I want to tell you, there's been many a prayer prayed by a little child of God, just that short, that God Almighty answered.
Maybe you can think on your own life. Almost car accidents, or car accidents where you could have been killed and you were barely hurt. In a moment, you say, "Lord, save me. Lord, help me." And the Lord answered that prayer. And the Lord lifted up Peter. I was traveling home one night. It was before I'd ever moved to the Jackson area. And I was traveling home, and a lady that was in our community backed out of her driveway and took up the entire two-lane road. And it was right in front of me, but I quickly moved to the left and went around her. And I knew it was a tough situation, but I didn't realize how tough. And in my pride, my arrogance, I thought my wonderful driving skills had brought me to safety. It wasn't until a day or two later, there was a lady in our community. I bumped into her. She said, "Mark," she said, "I don't know how you didn't flip your car." I said, "What do you mean? I was still partly on the pavement, and I was fine." She said, "No, you weren't." She said, "You were in the ditch." And she said, "I don't know how in the world your car didn't flip numerous times." And I went back to the exact location because I knew where it was, because I knew where the woman's driveway was, the lady that was backing up. And I looked over there and I saw the deep ravine right behind. And I was instantly very ashamed, because me and my pride and my arrogance and thinking my own hand had saved me and my superior driving skills had brought me to safety, I realized it was the hand of Almighty God. That when I prayed, "Lord, save me," that God answered that prayer and He delivered me. Now I'll tell you, as we talk to one another, brothers and sisters in Christ, I've heard story after story after story of similar experiences where God Almighty reached down and saved us. He reaches down and He lifts Peter out of the water. He grabs his hand. He feels the hand of Jesus that pulls him from the depths. The Bible then says, Jesus said, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" When they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. So the Lord grabbed the hand of Peter and pulled him up. And as soon as they get into the ship, the storm immediately stops. And when I say it stops, I think it's immediate. You know how when you're, shaking a little bottle of water or something like that, when I quit moving, the water's still moving. There's still motion there. But I believe when Jesus entered the boat, every wave stopped. Every bit of wind ceased. And I don't think there was a ripple on the water anywhere, because King Jesus stilled the storm. And I wondered, as Jesus and Peter came in the boat, did Peter still have his hand? You know, I saw a writing the other day. It was alluding to the woman that said, "If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole." And he said, sometimes it's easier to touch the hem of his garment than it is to sustain the grasp. What's he mean by that? To keep holding out. In my mind, I don't think Peter let go. But once the Lord had his hand, I envision them getting into the boat and Peter's still hanging on to the Lord's hand and the Lord's hanging on to him. I'm afraid sometimes in my life I've been blessed to grasp the hem of his garment. But then I let go. We sing that song, Blessed Jesus. Oh, my hand. We worship a Lord that loves us so much. He died for us on the cross of Calvary, and one sweet day he'll take us home to be with him in heaven and immortal glory in perfect peace and love. And the same one that loves us throughout all eternity loves us right back. And he comes to us in the midst of our darkest struggles, in the darkest storms of our life. And if it takes him to walk on the water to be with you, child of God, he'll do it. And if you're afraid and you begin to sink, he, with the same gentle and loving and comforting and saving hand, he extended and lifted up Peter out of the water. He'll lift you out of the water. That's the Lord that we serve. May we follow him all the days of our life. May we, like Peter wanted to be so close to him, may we desire that. And may we follow him all the days of our life. God richly bless you. That's my prayer.